how do we get rid of aches and pains and empower ourselves to move confidently without medications or surgeries? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. I'm Eric Wallace of Modus Rx Physical Therapy, and this is the Modus Rx Audio Experience.
Hey friends of Modus Rx Audio Experience, it's Haley here, the marketing extraordinaire at Modus Rx Audio Experience. Today's podcast is all about the top 10 things to do right now when you have back pain. While listening, head over to bit.ly/7backpainsecrets to check out our free guide made just for you. Hope you enjoy today's podcast. Thank you.
All right, welcome back to another Modus Rx Audio Experience. Hope everybody's having a great week. Looking forward to today's podcast. We are going to build off of what we talked about last podcast and last week. Last week was all about the why, the top three reasons why you're having back pain. Today, I'm going to get a little bit into the what. I'm not a huge fan of the what always because it's very tactical and it's less strategic. And I find that the tactics without the strategy are sometimes useless. But I know that this is what people are looking for in terms of, I have back pain now. What the heck should I be doing for it? So that's what we're going to talk about today on today's podcast. Hopefully everybody is having a wonderful week. I'm back in the home office here. So I'm really winging it again without the lighting crew and the headphones set. I don't look like a pilot today, so I'm a little disappointed in myself, but yeah, we're going to be coming to you live today and on audio from home. So hopefully again, if you're struggling with back pain, if you're frustrated with back pain, if you've had chronic back pain, this is the month to pay attention to us, because we are talking all about back pain this month. That reminds me, a couple quick little blurbs. We do have our Build a Better Back online program that kicked off yesterday. And so if anybody is interested in that, make sure you reach out to us one way or the other on any of the socials or email or phone. You can certainly find that any way that you need to. And then just putting a little plug in for our webinar that we have coming up at the end of the month, long-lasting and simple solutions to back pain. So we're going to be talking all about live, demonstrable, we're going to demonstrate some of the things that we do often with our clients and things that seem to be working really, really well right now. Things that you can take and utilize. And trust me, you will not want to miss the offer that we will have for you at the end of that. So this is the month for back pain, and we're going to keep rolling on here with the top 10 things to do when you have back pain. All right. So a little bit more tactical, a little bit more actionable. I'm going to talk a little bit about what we do a lot. I find that with back pain and with so many things, I find that there's way too many things, right? There's way too many things out there. So if somebody out there is coming to you with one solution, the one big thing that, you know, we're doing for back pain, you know, I'm probably going to come close to that with my first, my number one thing to do. But at the end of the day, we're all different human beings. We are human beings after all. We have brains that operate sometimes who knows how. And so I would encourage you, if you think that somebody has one solution, right? If there's only one way, or it's their way or the highway, again, I would probably argue that you turn around and run out of that room as fast as possible. Everybody's different. Everybody's situation is different. And at the end of the day, your back pain is an experience. It's not a concrete thing that all 10 human beings that I see in the clinic in a given day have the exact same experience and the exact same variables that are surrounding that experience that will dictate how it goes. So there can't just be one way. And if you know anything about how we operate, usually a lot of times what's popular, i.e. surgeries, i.e. injections. sorry, I had to clear my throat there. Usually what's popular is wrong. So I'll just leave that out there and we will move on to, that's why I'm going through 10 things, top 10 things. I think it's a little maybe extreme, but top 10 things to do when you have back pain, because we're all different. It's good to have options. It's good to take a certain approach based on your situation and your attitude towards it. So here we go. The old David Letterman. I don't have a symbol or anything in the background here, but the old David Letterman, top 10 things. Top 10 things to do when you have back pain. Quick disclaimer before I get started. This is in no way meant to replace or take the place of a medical diagnosis or a medical treatment, or I'm not saying that you should go out and do this at this moment. I'm just telling you the top 10 things that we're doing for people right now when you have back pain. Therefore, this is for informational purposes only. I do recommend that you get a good evaluation from a physical therapist and, make sure that you trust that individual to take some of these steps with you or make their own recommendations for you. So little disclaimer there. Okay. The party pooper's over. Here we go. Top 10 things to do when you have back pain. I apologize. It's 10 things. So I do have my list here. Bear with me. So the number one thing to do when you have back pain is to load it up, baby. You got back pain. What do most of us do? Oh boy, do we ever baby ourselves? You know, we better turn into couch potatoes. We better get off of our feet. We better, we better slap some ice on there. And sure enough, I can't do things for the next 3 days. So, of course I mean that all jokingly with the most respect, but the number one thing that we often don't do, we avoid loading the back. Okay. Now, because this is informational, I'm going to have you obviously take this with a grain of salt. Load it means a lot of different things. But we got to be smart about how we load it. When you have back pain, one of the most common things that we'll see benefit from in our clinic is actually getting the individual loading the tissue that is painful or that is threatened or that is fearful or that is hurting. But you got to be smart, right? So it's appropriate loading of that tissue. It's not loading up a barbell and pulling weight from the ground 500 pounds and saying, let's deadlift the snot out of this. But deadlifts may be a part of it. We may set you up for success a little bit. It might be doing some things from your back or from your hands and knees or from your side where we are, again, gently, safely, progressively loading the tissue. And when I say load it, I just mean give it a challenge, give it a stress. Typically what you're going to want to start is with what we call isometrics, meaning the tissue or your muscles are taking on stress, but you're not going through a big range of motion. Okay. So that might just be you take a band, you take a weight, get in one position, you brace yourself and you hold the weight out in front of you, right? Or you hold the band out in front of you, and your body's job or your back's job is just to make sure that weight or that resistance does not move you. Okay. So load it, right? That's the number one thing. Very counterintuitive, but I can't tell you the number of times that somebody's got back pain that they've been dealing with for 2-3 weeks or even last 48 hours. They come in and we challenge the core, we challenge the back, we challenge their system with a little bit of loading, and they walk out of there, you know, 5 times better than they walked in. A, because the tissue is getting some pump, it's getting some circulation, it's getting some use. But B, we start to build the confidence that, oh yeah, I'm not broken after all. So load it. That's the number one thing to do when you have back pain, obviously within reason. Obviously consult with your local expert or with us if you have questions further about what we mean there. Okay. Number two, and again, this is all subject to change, right? I'm only doing this top 10 list as I see it right now, for the sake of today's podcast and today's video. But this is all subject to change. This is just things that we're doing right now quite a bit. Number two, needle it, right? Dry needling. If you haven't heard of it, what rock you've been living under, we use it quite frequently. A lot of people are using it. It's the greatest thing since sliced bread for physical therapists and any practitioners that are working with individuals that have muscle pain and myofascial pain. But dry needle it, okay? I'm not going to go too much into the detail of what dry needling specifically is, but I will say that the great thing about dry needling is it's a very, very novel stimulus to the body. It's a new stimulus to the body. Sometimes when we get injury, we get pain, we get guarding, we get fearful. We need something to just come in and basically put the fire out, right? Or the other cheesy analogy is reboot the computer. So we need something that is going to take that fearful guarded tissue and help it rebound, help it bounce back, help it reboot. And therefore we can, you know, move as quickly as possible back into number one, loading it or whatever it is we want to do from there. So dry needling is a very effective strategy. It's not for everybody. It's not for every situation. It doesn't cure acne. It doesn't cure cancer, but it is very beneficial. We're finding it to be very beneficial for kind of putting out that fire early and then getting the person back to what they want to do as soon as possible. All right. So number two, needle it. Number one, load it. Number three, pop it, crack it, manipulate it, okay, whatever you want to call it. But we still do love a good old-fashioned spinal manipulation, or for lack of fancier terms, cracking your back, right? And it doesn't have to crack, it doesn't have to pop, but having somebody or something else come in and provide a quick stretch to the area, the low back, the mid back, producing that rapid, it might be a pop or what we call a cavitation where your spine actually cracks or pops, or just might be a quick stretch to the area. But what that does is it helps relax the tissue around the area. So physiologically, we know that a crack, you know, in our world, again, I mean this with the utmost respect, but in our world, we are not putting anything back into place. We are not realigning anything. We are not, you know, we're not changing the curve of your spine. We're not doing any of this stuff. We are simply relaxing the muscles around that area, creating a little bit of a window of opportunity of muscle relaxation. So again, that we can go back and load it. We can go ahead and move it. We can do what we want to do with it. And the other thing that spinal manipulation that we do with our individuals, cracking the back, so to speak, cracking the spine, is it produces fluid exchange at that level. So not going to get into white papers and studies today, but we do know that at the different levels of the spine with spinal manipulation, we create fluid exchange. So it creates hydration in the area. It hydrates discs. It helps any things that are kind of bathing in those nasty biochemicals. It helps kind of flush the system with some good positive fluid, if you will. So number three, we do still love our good old spinal manipulation. But I will say number two and number three, needle it and crack it. If that's all somebody is doing with you and you know, you don't have a good strength plan in place, or you don't have a good home program in place, or you don't have somebody helping you, you know, progress your movements and your exercise, and all they're doing is relying on needling and cracking, as much as we love it, as much as we use it, if that's all the individual's doing, then you might be missing the boat on getting the whole picture and getting all the way back to that transformation you're looking for. All right, number four. This is a huge one, and I think it's talked about a lot, but I can't believe how much we're coming across it in our clinic right now. Number four is biomechanics. All right. Biomechanics. Now biomechanics is, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with biomechanics because our job always for our individuals is to have thoughtless, fearless movement. So we want individuals to be able to move without thinking, move with confidence, not be overthinking every single little thing they do. Not the classic, hey, bend with your legs and not your back, otherwise you're SOL, right? But there's an element of biomechanics that we need to look at in terms of higher level sports and higher level activities. So the common one that we're seeing a lot with our golfers and with our CrossFitters is the simple idea of the biomechanics of stacking the spine or creating a canister, which is what we call a canister from your pelvis to your rib cage, and making sure that canister is staying stacked and staying appropriately pressurized as we do different movements. The classic one for a lot of our individuals that take on barbell work and weights is as they start hinging or squatting, they lose the mechanics of that area, that lower back or that pelvic lower back rib area. And they lose appropriate pressure or appropriate neutrality of that spine, of that area. So they have energy leaks, right? They have energy leaks. So if you imagine a can of soda, not that we promote drinking soda here, but if you have a can of soda and when it's full and when the top is on, you have good pressure and it's really hard to move that thing. It's really hard to bend or shift or twist or anything like that. But as soon as we pop the top, you know, and we lose a little bit of the pressure inside, we're actually able to start bending that can a little bit. And that's just the analogy that we'll see with a lot of our individuals that are having back pain, is their biomechanics are just a little bit off. And there's a number of reasons of why that might be, but their biomechanics are off. And so they lose pressure, they lose energy, and that sometimes can lead to dysfunction and pain in the back. So watching biomechanics, getting with somebody who is good at identifying and understands the movements and is able to identify these things if they're happening, they might be important, they might not, but having that ability to identify that and have a conversation about it is really important. So number four, watch biomechanics. All right, number five, lay if you must, but move often, okay? Lay down and take a load off if you must, but still make sure you're moving often. Now that could be a couple, that could be a number of things. Even if you're going to stay non-weight bearing or on your back or side, make sure we're still getting some gentle movement while you're on the ground or in bed or on the couch. If you have the ability to, the ideal is to kind of get up and move around your house or move around your area and not just become a couch potato. Okay. Even though it hurts, even though we have pain, even though we might have had a recent injury or if it's a chronic situation, one of the worst things we can do is just become an object that stays at rest. And the trouble with laying or sitting or any of these things is not the position of laying or sitting themselves, but the fact that laying or sitting usually promote us to lay or sit for longer and not move. So make sure that you gotta take a load off, you gotta de-stress. You got to maybe catch your bearings a little bit, but even in those moments, make sure that you're moving frequently. The longer that you stay at rest and you're not moving, the more we decondition, the more likely it is we are to stay in that state and get caught in this negative cycle, right? The number one thing that I see, I would say number one is, I don't know, it's number five, number six, it's common. People take on a short-term compensation for pain, meaning they have pain, they start to lay down, they deload, they protect and guard, and it's a short-term compensation, which is usually probably good because our body, as human beings, does not want to do something stupid and take on more pain or more stress. So our body kind of shuts it down. That's a good short-term compensation. When it becomes a problem is when it becomes a long-term compensation, and now we're really, really in a bind. So that's where I say lay if you must, but make sure you're moving often. All right. So let's recap the top five here. Number one, load it. Number two, needle it. Number three, crack it, pop it, manipulate it. Okay. Number four, biomechanics and identifying if they're an issue for you. And number five, lay if you must, but move often. All right. So questions about the top five. Now's your time. I got to get a drink here. Bear with me. All right. So questions about the first five, feel free to reach out to us, leave a comment, again, text, call, email, any of this stuff. As we do these podcasts, it's meant to be a conversation for Pete's sake. I am just telling you right now, as we know things in our clinic, what I believe to be true at this moment in time, I'm allowed to change my mind and things are allowed to evolve for us as a practice and for me as a practitioner. So if you have questions, thoughts, or you're thinking a different way, reach out, right? Let's have a conversation about it. Can't wait to hear from you. All right. Number six, this potentially needs to be number one, but number six, talk to somebody, right? Talk to somebody. Having pain, especially back pain, is one of the loneliest things and loneliest places to be on earth. But I guarantee you, you're not the only one out there that has it. And I guarantee you there's somebody out there that has it worse. So I mean, talk to somebody not like us, because that's coming down the road, right? Sneak preview, that's coming in a couple numbers. But talking to someone is talking to a friend, talking to a loved one, reaching out to somebody who's been there, reaching out to support groups. You know, as much as Dr. Google and Dr. YouTube and Dr. Facebook drive us a little bit insane, you know, there's plenty of people out there, groups and people and practitioners that might be able to help you just get it off of your chest and see who else is going through a similar thing and what they've tried. But, you know, it always helps to talk to somebody. If you do get in a situation, make sure it's not just a situation where, and I mean this with respect, but it's not just a pity fest. You know, there's gotta be somebody that can tell you their experience and then tell you some actionable steps that helped and, or is willing to kind of be there to support you and not just talk crap with you about how bad life is. So again, I mean that respect, but you gotta make sure that the individual that you're talking to is willing to have some actionable advice or give you something that will objectively help you. Okay. Number seven, another simple but amazing one, walk. All right. I kind of talked a little bit about number five, but number seven is walk. Walking is what we were designed to do as humans. It is actually built into us like a hardware operating system, whatever you want to call it, where we will do this in our sleep, right? We literally sleepwalk. And so it's ingrained in us. And if you can walk, there's two main things. One, usually walking is somewhat doable. Unless you're really, really in a bad situation, walking is going to be somewhat doable with back pain, right? So walking is a natural thing for us human beings. The more things that we can do that are natural to us and we were designed to do, the more we're going to try to get back to a normalized situation after an injury. All right. So that's kind of the mindset psychology aspect of walking and how doing more things that we're designed to do or that are normal or natural to us will kind of help us out of these situations. The other physiological side is walking is so incredibly good for your lower back because of the aspect of, you know, weight shifting from one leg to the other, getting hips flexing and extending, and then having these spinal segments that are literally, you know, kind of gapping and compressing rhythmically as we walk, right? So very similar to when I come and I give somebody a good crack and a good manipulation, you know, walking does a very similar thing for the back, just not to that degree, but it gives us those tiny little, mobilizations or tiny little movements, if you will, that help hydrate those areas. They help promote circulation. And again, they help normalize movement so that maybe we're not as fearful and guarded in those areas. All right. Number eight and nine, very, very tactical, but very, very simple. Number eight, move your hips. All right. So the hips are these ball and socket joints that are really attached just below the back, just below your center of gravity. Get those ball and sockets moving, right? So the more that you can promote movement and mobility of the hips, typically the more likely your back is going to be happier. Their hips were, again, much like walking, the hips were designed to move. So if we can move them, we don't necessarily have to overstress the back while we're moving our hips, but we get something that's directly attached, or it's the next link in the chain from the back. It gets those areas moving so that the back is probably a little bit happier. Number nine, very, very similar to the hips, but the segment just above, right, is our thoracic spine. So our spine, the 12 segments that sit above the low back and our ribs attached to, those are also designed to be fairly mobile. And a lot of times we get stiff and guarded in those areas, either creating back pain, or we get stiff and guarded in those areas from back pain. And so those are easy areas. The thoracic spine is an easy area to move and not have to overstress the low back again. So if we can move the thoracic spine and we can move the hips, top 10 list eight and nine, then that back, right, usually the low back, which sits right between those things, is probably going to be bound to be a little bit happier, because the things that sit above and below it that are designed to move and move fairly well, if they're moving fairly well, then again, the low back feels a little bit closer to normal. So those are some actionable things. Hips and thoracic spine, both, you can also do a lot of movement in non-weight bearing positions. So obviously you can do things where you're laying down, knees side to side, upper back rotations, open books, all these things that you can do where your low back does not have to take on a lot of stress or movement. So they're usually very appealing in those early stages of back pain. All right. And number 10, the 10th thing that you can do for low back or when you have back pain is, for the love of all that is good and holy in this world, please get evaluated by somebody who knows what they're doing when it comes to back pain. All right. And I would take it a step further. Somebody that knows what they're doing with back pain, that is not jumping right to extreme measures, that is not jumping right to MRIs, injections, surgeries. Again, I mean that with the most respect to the individuals that are in those fields, but most of the time, 90, 95% of time, back pain is mechanical in nature. It means that it's just something that's you know, not quite right, but it's not anatomically wrong. And if you go down the road of MRIs, injections, surgeries, all that right off the bat without addressing the conservative, again, 9 out of 10 individuals might be going down a path that was not necessary. So that's really, really important to get evaluated. We talked about this last week on last week's podcast of, you know, most people are not improving their back pain because they're not addressing the underlying why. They're trying to put a Band-Aid, or they're trying to address the symptom, or they're trying to plug a hole when the foundation or the support itself is falling apart. So make sure you get a good solid evaluation from somebody who's going to be able to help you figure out the why behind this, get a plan in place. They won't sugarcoat stuff. They're not prescribing you one or two sessions, but they're not prescribing you 800, right? And I hate to speak in generalizations, but usually if somebody says that they're going to get your back better in one or two sessions, full of baloney. And if they tell you that you need 800 and you got to sign up for this, you know, this 3-year plan, probably full of baloney too. I apologize. I hate to speak in generalizations. But at the end of the day, I don't really apologize because I think that I've been doing this long enough now that any of those extremes in most cases, you're not in the right place and you're probably not going to be in the right mindset to get what you need addressed. So find somebody who's going to objectively evaluate the why and give you a realistic plan that sees the transformation through, and is not, you know, unrealistic on one end or the other, the spectrum of the prognosis of it all. So that is the top 10 things to do when you have back pain. That is, as we see it right now, I'm sure there's about 80,000 things more, but those are the top 10 things that I typically will go to that I'm finding most effective or most common or least often addressed when somebody's having back pain. And I'm going to go through the list one more time. Number 1, load it. Number 2, needle it. Number 3, crack it. Number 4, watch your biomechanics or have somebody watch your biomechanics for you. Number 5, lay down if you must, but move often. Number 6, talk to somebody, not necessarily a medical practitioner, but somebody else who's been there, who's been through it, somebody who loves you, somebody who will listen to you and empathize, but will also maybe give you some, you know, a little push in the right direction, a little nudge in the direction of positive focus. Number 7, walk. Number 8, move your hips. Number 9, move your thoracic spine, your T-spine. And number 10, for the love of all that is good and holy, please get a good solid evaluation and a plan in place with somebody who knows what they are doing. If you really feel like that is you, I'll raise my hand right now to say, I can help you. We can help you. Just feel free to reach out. With that being said, that is the top 10 things to do when you have back pain. I hope everybody's having a wonderful week. We lost game one of the NBA finals. I'm a big, big Milwaukee Bucks fan. We lost game one. I was a little pouty, little out of my element last night. You know what? It's just entertainment. It's just a basketball game. I'm happy the Bucks are there and have had such an awesome season. And if you follow any of the great sports that are out there, I know the Euro Cup is going on. I know baseball is kind of heading into maybe the dog days. We got training camp coming up for NFL. Hockey's still Stanley Cup. So there's a lot of good stuff happening there. But most importantly, hope everybody's having a great summer, great week. If I didn't say it last week, happy 4th of July. And any questions, like I said, reach out to us. We're happy to help. Be on the lookout for our Build a Better Back online wellness class. Also be on the lookout for our upcoming webinar at the end of the month, a low back webinar, simple and long-lasting solutions to your back pain. All right. Thank you so much for your time. And this is Dr. Eric Walsh from Modus RX Physical Therapy. And this is the Modus RX Audio Experience. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the Modus RX Audio Experience. If you would like more information on how to run through a pain to performance transformation in your life, then please go to our website, modusrx.com. That's MOTUSRX.com. And there you can find free guides and helpful information to help you live a healthier, more active lifestyle. And until next time, this is Eric Wallace, and this is the Modus RX Audio Experience.